Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And welcome into the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. Hope everybody is doing well and off to a good start with their morning here on the program. We got a lot to get into today. We have the best and worst things in sports coming up at 6:45. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will join us at 8 o'clock for his weekly visit. We'll get into the Titans and all things NFL with him. Joe Rexrode, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, but I have already gotten a complaining text from on the personal text line from Dane from Nolensville about that anthem that we just played. He suggests that we try Roseanne Barr's version. So, man, we should find that one. If anybody remembers that one, it's a real beaut.
I will say there are some national anthems that we have in the rotation here on this station that are pretty good. Like Carrie Underwood, I think, was on yesterday, and she rocked it. Chris Stapleton, every time it comes on, Nick Keyser's back in the room in there just jamming out to it. Luke Bryan has made a nice career for himself. He's a very, very popular country music singer. I don't know, Joe, that the national anthem is in his wheelhouse, based on some things that I've heard.
A very kind diplomatic answer of you there. Yep. Today is, by the way,
Luke Bryan or Gomer Pyle, as I refer to him, from the Andy Griffith Show.
Little Kermit in there, maybe, too. But, of course, today, 80th anniversary of D-Day, so that's a pretty special anniversary. We didn't ruin it, but I mean, that's like a Stapleton or maybe a Whitney Houston.
Yeah,
you know, would have been better.
Appropriate.
It's all right. We're fine.
we're okay.
Sorry, Dane from Nolensville.
Nick Keyser, how we doing? What's going on?
I'm doing well. Robbie, how was your time yesterday afternoon with Allison?
It was good.
I saw you guys had a lovely time.
Yep, it was really good. She's growing up very fast. 10 months old.
Which man, really? Already?
Yeah.
Wow. That is true. Wow. Yeah. Coming up on her first birthday. How you feeling, Robbie?
Old. Getting real close to it. And she's really close to walking, too. So then we're in big trouble.
So yes. It'll be fun. Yeah, step it up. Yeah. Did you guys go to Cracker Barrel?
We went to Chili's yesterday just because it was right there and she was hungry. And that's what we did. She had some grilled chicken. She enjoyed it.
Nice. I hope you got the queso.
We did. I don't walk in there without getting the queso. It just doesn't happen. Good stuff. Joe, I do want to get your thoughts on this real quick. There's some breaking news right now.
Yeah.
According to Adrian Wojnarowski, the Lakers targeting Dan Hurley of UConn as their new head coach. The deal is not done yet, but apparently they're making an aggressive pitch for Dan Hurley to be the next head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers, who obviously has won back-to-back national titles at UConn as their men's basketball coach. What do you make of that possibility of Dan Hurley potentially joining the Lakers?
Well, I'm pretty stunned to see that. I already see Josiah Johnson, who is probably the best follow on Twitter, already has like a gif of like Dan, like JJ Redick when he sees Dan Hurley at the Lakers facility, and it's like Ice Cube looking at Eazy-E, you know, when they're beefing in the movie about NWA.
Yes.
That's brilliant. Man, it's been nothing but Redick to the point that just the other day, I mean, he's like on a podcast and it's like, yeah, we'll talk about this after the finals. And it seems like he's even had the expectation he's getting this job. And is Dan Hurley going to sneak in there and take it? If he does, to me, that's just another, you're talking about a guy who, like you said, back-to-back national championships, has got some things figured out pretty well between their own high school recruiting and great answers in the portal every year. I think they've got, you know, they got a team that maybe isn't preseason number one, but it's a top 5-6 team probably. Again, So, I mean, to me, this would be another example of how untenable it is. I mean, I know some people would say that's an overreaction on my part, but I just don't think you leave that situation for the NBA for the most part before the current setup of college sports.
I agree with
you. He just doesn't seem like an NBA coach to me, but I'm sure he'll be fine.
I'm sure he will be too. Like, I'd love to see what the contract ends up being, because I'm sure that could play a big part into this too. But, you know, yes. I'm not going to pretend to get inside the mind of LeBron James, but, like, is LeBron James excited about Dan Hurley as the new coach? Because LeBron James seems to me like he would be more excited about the J.J. Redick part of being a new coach, because that's his buddy. Like, that's
exactly. Yeah,
it seems like if you're making this move, if you're the Lakers, you're not as concerned about what LeBron James thinks, which maybe that's the right move. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a great point. Like, we're talking about teams catering to LeBron to the point of taking his non-NBA player son with a prominent pick just so they could have him. And certainly the Redick thing seems like totally just a make LeBron happy. Not that there are people who, I mean, I think J.J. Redick is a really good analyst.
Yeah, he's really smart.
I don't know. He's like, he's never coached. It's really kind of weird. But, I mean, I could see there are people who think he'd be a good coach. Okay, fine. But, yes, that seems like a placate LeBron move. So doing this says what about their thoughts on LeBron?
Yeah, it's a really interesting situation. We'll monitor that. Nothing official yet. So it's not like Dan Hurley has the job. But according to Woj on ESPN, that is who the Lakers are targeting. So we'll keep you updated on that, if there's any news that comes down the pike on that a little bit later today. Joe Rexo, day two of Titans minicamp yesterday. You were out there on the field once again. What stood out to you yesterday as the Titans were back on the practice field for day two of minicamp?
Oh, man. I knew you were going to ask me this question. Not a lot stood out. You know, you've got some guys who are kind of getting back into things. Jalen Duncan, a little bit more from L'Jarius Sneed. So, you know, maybe a little bit of the panic on him can subside a little bit. A lot of the focus, of course, I mean, just a lot of the work is just, it's just drills, you know, like there's just not a ton of team stuff going on. There was a red zone drill. So much discussed yesterday. You know, Will Levis had a couple misses. I was kind of on the far side of the field walking toward that end zone where they were scrimmaging when, you know, like the pass sailed and went into the water, which, you know, I was on with Jared, Jared versus Joe, a sham win for Jared yesterday. And they were talking like it was like the ball sailed the entire field and then went in the water. No, I mean, like, they're right against the fence. They're like, the water's right there. Still, you got to get the ball pretty high to get it in the water. But he had some misses. Then he had a couple dimes in the second go around to the red zone. So, I mean, I'm seeing Tyler Boyd and Levis have some chemistry. I'm seeing the backs, I think, look good, catching the ball, running routes, catching the ball out of the backfield. Man, I'm not seeing it. It's just, there are limitations yesterday. Now, maybe today, this final day of minicamp, there is an OTA next week, by the way, which sadly I'll be on vacation for. But this is the last day of minicamp. Maybe there'll be a little bit more team stuff today. But there's just, you know, there's not a ton right now. Helmets, shorts, and limited team activity to get a lot of observations.
There's a lot made on the Jared versus Joe program yesterday of the ball going in the lake from Levis. I'm just now, like, because I heard Jared reading from Jim Wyatt's piece at TennesseeTitans.com. Obviously, I was not there, but I'm reading this now, and it seems like a little bit less of a big of a deal than he made it out to be. It says, one quote, this is from Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com, quote, one pass from Levis sailed over the outstretched hands of tight end Josh Wiley, and after the football bounced high off the grass, it cleared the fence and ended up in the lake, a free souvenir for the geese. So it's not like, I mean, that reads to me as it bounced off the grass and then over the fence and into the lake. Not that he sailed it into the middle of the fountain out there in the middle of the lake over by the field.
Yeah, I think Jared had the impression that this is like Nuke LaLoosh hitting the mascot with the fastball.
He just threw it into the lake. Like, oh God. Because I admit, if that would have happened, that would have been a little bit concerning. Like, Will,
it's a heck of a
dial
bounce.
It back a little bit.
Yeah, it's a heck of a bounce for sure, you know. But like, yeah, when you're in that end zone, you got the little fence, and then I know that he's asked, like, Chris Sanders, like, has that ever happened? He's like, I've never seen it. You know, it's like, I don't know. I would guess that a bounce here or there would go into the water. By the way, I always thought it was just a pond, not a lake, more like a pond.
Yeah, lake may be a bit of a bit generous.
Yeah, so. But, yeah, that's, I mean, whatever. But, yeah, missing some passes. He had a TD. It was Pollard. Yes, it was Pollard. Now, it's one of those plays where, and, of course, by the way, Dr. Jack gets a pick. So, I guess whatever you want to be. You want to be worried about Levis. You want to be excited about Dr. Jack, whatever. You know, talk about the green dot.
Talk to the media one day, make a pick the next day. Maybe it's a correlation.
I mean, I guess we should have got him again, but we didn't get him again.
Would Karski talk to him this time?
I don't know. I don't know. I did not see a organized protest yesterday, even though Karski screamed at everyone at the facility. But Levis had a TD to Pollard that was a really sharp route from Pollard. It was a well thrown ball. It's one of those. It was interesting because it could have, you know, he was set up. I think it was Chance Campbell who could have, like, knocked his block off there right at the goal line.
Yeah.
But the thing is, and this is what I was saying, I was standing next to Braden Gall. I'm like, the thing about that is, like, if that's the case and he blows him up the way it was set up, like, it's a guaranteed personal foul, too. You know what I mean? Like, there's no way almost to avoid the personal foul unless you're super ginger and go low or something like that. So it's like, you know, it's probably fine. Now, if I'm Pollard, I don't want to find out, you know?
No.
So that's still one of those plays. You don't want to put your guys in harm that much. But like, if you do on that particular play, like, there's almost no avoiding a personal foul if you're the defensive player. Kind of an interesting situation.
Zach in Nashville says, Robbie needs to tread lightly with his Titans minicamp talk today. Only Jared can talk and analyze a minicamp and not be there. That's from Zach in Nashville. I agree. I had not read Jimmy Wyatt's piece yet at TennesseeTitans.com. I heard Jared talking about it yesterday, so I pulled it up to start the show here, and Jared seems to have left out a pretty important detail, that the ball bounced before it went over the fence. Like, I thought, the way he was talking yesterday, I thought he just sailed it into the water. Like, it's a little bit different.
Well, that'd be the first time that Jared had a factor. By the way, thanks, Jack, Zach DM me complaining about Caroline's judging especially on my program team thing. So I'm glad that Zach and I are aligned in takes again. But apparently you're going to take me to task on team program.
That's
going to
happen
at
7:30. Yeah, it's going to happen at 7:30.
I'm here for it.
Andrew on the text line, going back to our anthem discussion. Carl Lewis had a great rendition too.
Oh, my God.
Uh-oh.
Oh, geez.
One of the greatest of all time.
Carl. Yeah, we'll save those for, like, I don't know, like, unpatriotic holidays?
Yeah. I don't know what that would be,
you know?
Not today. Let's not do that today.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Joe, for some reason, more Treylon Burks talk yesterday continuing to pop up around the Tennessee Titans. We'll get more into that next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Broadcasting live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Joe, a lot of discussion this week about Treylon Burks. We talked about Trevor Maddich's comments yesterday. Derek Mason, by the way, had a big problem with Trevor Maddich's comments. We'll get to that here in just a few minutes. But Nick Holtz was asked about Treylon Burks, and a nice series of questions that he was asked yesterday, but we'll play just a part of that, of what Holtz was asked about Treylon Burks, his work ethic, his approach, all those things. Here's what Nick Holtz, Titans offensive coordinator, had to say yesterday over at St. Thomas Sports Park.
Now that you've got Traylon on the field and you've seen him, what are some things that he's done well, and then what are some areas for improvement?
He has exceeded expectations so far, you know, and I know, you know, being a first-round pick, he's kind of like a hot-button issue a little bit with the media here. It seems like there's a lot of Traylon questions. He has been unbelievable. His work ethic every day has been awesome. He's, you know, vertical speed, his size, his strength has showed up nonstop every day. And so he's made some plays down the field. You know, we'd like to see him. He had one yesterday down the sideline. We'd like to see him reel in. And so that'd be one of those things of, you know, hey, when the big players are there, you got to make them. But he's done excellent for us, and he's really been versatile, being able to play inside and outside. So he's actually been rotating it at all three spots. And, you know, a lot of times he's been running with the ones because guys aren't there. And, you know, it's the offseason, so it's voluntary. So he's been doing a really nice job kind of plug and play in that standpoint.
How would you categorize the effort that you've seen?
I would say it's been excellent. He's been awesome. And attitude and effort for him would be A+ from us.
So that was Nick Holtz yesterday, Titans offensive coordinator. Continuing, I heard that exchange yesterday, Joe.
Yep.
And I just immediately started laughing again because it was like, well, how's Traylon? He's unbelievable. He's exceeding expectations. I did enjoy the comment from Holtz about, oh, you know, a lot of Traylon questions around here. It seems like he's a hot button issue with the media here. But then, you know, everything about it's just great. And part of this conversation that we've spoken about, like, I don't expect DeAndre Hopkins or Calvin Ridley or Brian Callahan or Nick Holtz to get up there and be like, yeah, you know, Traylon Burks, he's not very good. Like, I don't get them. I don't expect them to say that. I do think there's like a middle ground here of your actions tell us that Traylon Burks is not going to be on the field all that much in terms of a wide receiver, like in your offense. He's probably at best your fourth receiver on this roster. And yet everybody keeps talking about how he's exceeding expectations and how great he is. Like, there's a middle ground there, I think, that the Titans are going to have to find in the Traylon Burks discussion if it's going to continue each day at practice, which apparently it is.
Yeah. Well, obviously, I mean, to me, I think TD asked that question after the Maddich stuff, right?
For sure, like, yes.
Okay, so let's follow this up. Look, I mean, did you think Nick Holtz was lying through his teeth about Traylon there in terms of the, like, effort, all this stuff, you know?
No. First off, like, and that's the – I agree with D-Mace from this perspective. Like, I don't know that I thought Trevor Maddich's comments were irresponsible, and that's the word that Derek Mason used yesterday. But I do agree that, like, have we ever really the problem with Burks has never really been about effort, has it? Like, I don't recall, like, Traylon Burks effort discussions over the past couple of years here. Like,
just showing up not in shape.
Yeah, not in shape. Like, I mean, if you want to tie it to that, then sure. But, like, on the practice field, I've never heard people talking about whether Burks is out there just dogging it through drills. So, like, that part of it doesn't really add up to what we've seen from Burks. So, like, no, I don't think Nick Holtz is sitting there lying to us about his effort and his approach and all that stuff. I'm just saying, like, they've been, like, so over the top with their praise, whether it's Ridley or whether – I mean, even yesterday, exceeding expectations. He's unbelievable. He's been great. And it's like, okay. Well, he's your fourth guy, maybe. Like, he's not going to be on the field. Like, it doesn't add up to me.
Well, it does add up to me because exceeding expectations means, yeah, we look at him as our fourth receiver. I mean, he even said that. He's like, hey, he's even had some opportunity because guys are hurt. I mean, like, they're – even with Callahan talking about him being a gunner, like, they're making no bones about the moves that put him fourth. No one's saying he is a starter, guys. Like, Boyd, Hopkins, and Ridley are ahead of him. Like, no one has any illusions. So, and he even said, he even said, there's one down the sideline. You got to reel it in when you have those opportunities. Because that's what I think the plan is that he's going to me, Traylon Burks, and for these guys, is going to be kind of like Khalif Raymond was a few years ago, where you're going to sneak him on the field and try to get a big play out of him. Like that's, you know, and like, obviously they also know he has to be ready because someone's going to get hurt, right?
Yep.
So maybe there's a little, but I thought yesterday, I mean, I think that's a little too effusive to dismiss as coach speak, like, guys, yeah, he's great. I mean, their expectations aren't high. So exceeding expectations is with coaches who don't have high expectations, who are using him as a gunner, who are like, hey, man, if you get an opportunity, get out there and better do it, because, like, we have three receivers who we're going to start. So it's all quite exhausting to analyze all of it.
It is.
But, yeah, like, I just, you know, again, Maddich, I respect a lot. And he saw what he saw, and he said what he said. Like I said yesterday, it's like, okay, like, was that a whole practice worth of, holy crap, this is awful, I would cut him if I was a coach, or was it that one drill?
What did you make of what D-Mace had to say on the Maddich front? D-Mace started Caroline Willie and D-Mace yesterday basically talking about how he had a problem with what Trevor Maddich said and how it was irresponsible. And, you know, Trevor Maddich, he respects his football opinions and holds a lot of weight, but what he said about Burks and being cut that day was irresponsible. What did you think of what D-Mace had to say?
Same thing with D-Mace. Love D-Mace, respect D-Mace. I don't think it goes to so far as irresponsible. Irresponsible would be like, I think he's going to get cut, or maybe, you know what I mean? Like, it's just his opinion. I'd cut him. Well, and I hear what he's saying. Like, people, he said, you know, when he says it, as opposed to some Scarboni or Scarbini.
That was awesome.
Which, as Jared said, basically means Stilly. If Stilly says it, great, whatever. But if Trevor says it, that holds weight. And that's true. It does hold more weight. But, I mean, look, I appreciate the guy giving his honest opinion and not being afraid, not holding back. I don't think irresponsible. I just feel like it's just hot takey for him. You know what I mean? I mean, it just it was surprising. And Jared said the same thing, too. It's like, that's not usually what he does. He usually doesn't just put people on blast all over the place, right? Like, pretty measured. And so I thought it was just hot takey, but I don't know. I wouldn't go irresponsible.
Yeah, I agree. And look, I mean, I pay attention to it. Like, Trevor Maddich, we've talked about before. Like, he knows his stuff, right? Like, you talk about football analyst, he knows his stuff. And again, it's one practice. So, like, I'm not sitting here going through, like, I didn't see it. I have no idea what Treylon Burks was doing in those drills. Again, like, it continues to be amazing to me. And I understand why we're doing it, and people keep asking about him because he's a first-round pick. Now, he's a first-round pick with a general manager and now a head coach that are no longer here anymore, so the first-round pick of it is starting to become less and less important. But he's a fourth receiver. He's generating an absolute ton of conversation this offseason. It's exhausting, and in some ways, like, I feel bad for him about it because it just kind of is what it is at this point. But, I mean, if Maddich is right, and that's what it is from him out there, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays. I mean, somebody on the text line just asked us, like, Trent says, could the Titans be hyping him up so much to try to get somebody to trade for him? I mean, maybe. I don't know. I still, like, the trade part of this, you're getting, like, a sixth or a seventh back at most, probably.
Yeah. Again, Holtz is sitting there telling us, and Callahan, too, yeah, he's gunning. If he gets an opportunity to do it. I mean, no one's trying. No one, I have not heard one person, I understand, like, Ridley, I separate coach and player commentary. Ridley talking, I mean, you know, I just pumping the tires of a teammate. But, like, these guys are, they're not sitting here even suggesting that he could start or he could, like, everybody knows the hierarchy of the receiver. So I don't think they're getting asked questions. Like, I haven't seen one coach say, but guys, by the way, hold on, everybody. No one asked me about Treylon Burks. Let me tell you how amazing this dude is. You know, they're getting asked, and we are like, Maws too light with Treylon Burks. So
apparently
that's
so.
Just kind of a thing. Yes. Meanwhile, quietly, NWI just running around out there making plays.
Doing
just
his thing.
Out there making plays. Just saying.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More of Joe's thoughts from Titans minicamp day two coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Purchase your tickets now for the Music City Grand Prix at the Nashville Super Speedway Friday, September 13th through Sunday, September 15th at MusicCityGP.com. As the racing station, 1025 The Game has a special offer that is for a limited time. Use promo code GAME for a 20% discount now through June 16th. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. We'll have the best and worst things in sports coming up at 6:45. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Talking more Titans minicamp with Joe Rextro. Joe, anything that we have not hit on yet that stood out to you yesterday at day two of Titans minicamp?
Zach made a point, which I agree with. He says on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com, Nick Holtz really has improved his media game, thoroughly enjoyed the Antonio Gates combo. Someone threw out Gates' comparison to Josh Wiley. We're having some amazing comparisons in this toxically positive mini camp spring. He was funny with that. I agree, though. Nick Holtz obviously getting a lot more comfortable. Had a good session yesterday. I also, every time Denard Wilson has a session, in my mind, one thing that I'm just like, this, if they are like pretty good on D, he's head coach next year. Like, yeah. Denard Wilson is like, I mean, you can see how, especially correcting every single mistake that ever happens. But good. Seriously, you can see how he'd be effective. He's just really impressive, and it's just fun to listen to him talk football. And you know, I think in particular with Wilson and Brian Callahan, there's definitely a lot of insight that goes into the answers, which is obviously appreciated by media and should be appreciated by fans, who should also, by the way, want more players talked to and things like that. But I understand if you want to dunk on Kuharsky and his mentions, go for it. Now, there was just a lot of stuff yesterday. I thought his conversation about pressing corners and explaining that, you know, it's not always as simple as you decide to press or not. I mean, offenses do things to move you off with bunch formations. Like, you have to adjust depending on your coverage and all that stuff. But in general, yes, more aggression, more pressing, and they have the corners to do so. But also, you know, we give Glennon a lot of crap for the can I ask about Trey Avery? Right. We had an interesting sort of back and forth yesterday, starting with a good John Glennon question.
So talk about the interior of the offensive line and how important that is for him in terms of protection. I wonder from the flip side of things for you how important is the priority to get pressure in the middle of that pocket.
Well, you know, I think, you know, we talk a lot about DBs, but the game is won and lost in the trenches. And the biggest thing is like we talk about edge rush. You really want to dominate the offensive line through the A and B gaps, because when you dominate the offensive line through the A and B gaps, there's no step up lane for the quarterback. And if no step-up lanes, and if we go back to the corners being connected at the top of the route with no step-up lane, where is it for the quarterback to throw?
Gabe Judy Lawley done well to make an early impression.
Who's that now?
Gabe Judy Lawley.
Oh, he's done an outstanding job. Like, he's taking advantage of his reps. You know, you'll see him out in 7-on-7. He's competing. You know, he's doing a great job. And when plays are there for him to make, you know, he's there and he's making them. You know, the ball found energy, and he brings energy every day.
Now, you had to be there, okay? You had to be there. But he was not done with his really good answer about interior pressure. He was actually – he asked the question and was, like, waiting for
a response.
Right. And then he was going to continue with his answer. And Carl, well, what about Gabe Judy Lawley, though? Can I ask about him? I mean, dude, we have time for you to ask about Gabe Judy Lawley at some point, okay, Paul?
It's gone full circle.
Exactly. Like, Gabe Judy Lawley is Paul Kuharsky's Trey Avery. Congratulations, Paul.
Holy smokes. That's the best thing that's happened all offseason.
So, first of all, as soon as he did it, I was sitting next to Jill Jelinek, and I'm like, oh, I'm right behind Kuharsky. I'm like, what are you doing? She starts laughing. And then as soon as the presser ended, I just immediately laid in on him, man. I was just like, dude, he was giving this awesome answer. He was not done. And you're like, get Judy Lawley. Oh, God, thank goodness you got that in.
Well, I mean, anytime you got a chance to ask about somebody who played for both Vanderbilt and Tennessee, man, you got to do it. Kuharsky was getting in there, man.
He was. Yeah, that's right. He didn't. No more slaps in the face of the Vols fan base. The only known on record Valdor Titan. Titan, Gabe Judy Lawley. By the way, I will say, Gabe Judy Lawley does look pretty good out there.
That's good.
I think he's a guy to watch as a. He's going to have to be fantastic on special teams, but a guy who's, you know, competing with, well, Trey Avery, among others, for a spot. I mean, so we can have. Glennon and Kuharsky can have like a big debate about which one of them should make the team in July or in August. I mean, it should be fantastic.
We've got to go back through the archives and mash together the John Glennon, Trey Avery interruption to Mike Vrabel when Vrabel's in the middle of yelling at Gentry Estes about how much losing sucks, and then mash that together with yesterday of Kuharsky Hey, Gabe Judy Lally. Let's talk about him real quick. Just mashing together. It's awesome.
And then tie on the end of that, Statler and Waldorf from the Muppets in the balcony. Perfect. Which, by the way, shout out to Mike Vrabel. We always compare, you know, Brian Callahan's pressers positively to Vrabel, but Vrabel is the one during a presser who actually called them out and said they are the guys in the Muppets.
Yes, it's pretty good.
He had his moments.
Yep, he did. I mean, look, in the first part of what was, I'm sure, going to be even more of a great answer by Denard Wilson there. That part of this defense is interesting because, I mean, we've talked about it. They've loaded up in the secondary, clearly, and especially, you know, if everybody can get on the field and play in the secondary. It's got the chance to be a pretty good secondary back there, and I'm still penciling in, and maybe I shouldn't, but I am, penciling in a safety add at some point to that group in free agency to add to everything else that they've already done. Still, though, like, it is going to be interesting how much pass rush can they generate, because we've talked about this before. You can be really, 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 really good in the secondary, but if you can't get to the quarterback, a lot of times it doesn't matter. I'm interested to see how much pass rush this group is currently constructed can generate, and that includes what I think is going to be probably in a pretty aggressive blitzing system at times from Denard Wilson as DC.
Yeah, and look, the as some people would call it, the reach of Sweat, and then obviously the big money they spent and the gamble, the two biggest gambles that we've talked about this week, right? They're Snead and Sweat. I mean, because there were caution signs around them, but those two moves feed directly into what he wants to do, right? I mean, I totally agree. Like, if you get what you were hoping to out of Sweat, the edge guys, everybody looks better. Everybody's job is easier. And pressing corners, that's what he was waiting for Glennon to answer. Where does he throw? If you have that and you're blowing them up at the top of the route and you are getting that push, which is the best push you can get, you know, what are you going to do? John, I would have liked to hear John answer.
Eric from Mount Pleasant on the text line just said, it just hit me. Joe's John Glennon voice sounds like Droopy the dog. You're the master impersonator, although Kuharsky's of Stillman yesterday is pretty good.
He destroyed me with a Stillman yesterday.
Camp of all mini camps.
Yeah, there were people at practice, by the way, talking like, I've been told I have to go back and listen to this.
Oh yeah.
It got quite a response, even from the press corps, when they weren't being F-bombed and screamed at by Kuharsky for being weak and not protesting who the Titans provide.
You're supposed to walk out. Don't say a word to any of the
sit-in. He tried to organize a sit-in, but it didn't work. Maybe today. Maybe today we'll get it done.
Be awesome. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, it's time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your best things and your worst things on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on the Louisville Bats at home. Pregame at 6:20, first pitch at 6:35. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Sounds Baseball presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
The best and worst of the sports week, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's time! This is the worst.
You look like you're feeling sorry for yourself.
Believe in miracles? Yes! Unbelievable.
He's one of one. He is him.
This is a Coke bottle. It's not a crystal ball.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Okay, let's go.
It is that time of the week, time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, kick us off with your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Thank you. Well, you know how I love to combine things. I got a great combined one this week. Let me tell you something. So my best is the fact that there's so much talk around attention for the WNBA. This is, we're heading toward the worst time of year for sports, which is basically nothing going on. As soon as we get through the NBA, NHL finals, and then, of course, we have the College World Series. Obviously, you have MLB, but I'm kind of invested now in this WNBA season. And obviously, a lot of it has to do with Caitlin Clark. I mean, that's the center of the storm, of course, is Caitlin Clark. I'd also put her in the best. I think through all this crap, I think she's handled herself really well, you know? Also, best is like the level of play in the league and the amount of great players and the difficulty she's having. It's impressive. I mean, it's been fun to watch, and I've been impressed with her. The worst is just, you know, some of the reaction elsewhere. We got the Chicago Tribune writing an editorial about, like, this Kennedy Carter foul on her. There's an Indiana congressman who, like, is now, like, trying to, I don't know what he's doing. He's just sending a letter to the WNBA demanding answers for the Kennedy Carter foul on Caitlin Clark. Pat McAfee.
Jeez, it wasn't that bad.
I know. I mean, dude, it was not that. Like, there are worse fouls than that daily. But so some of the reaction has been, and, you know, Stephen A. and McAfee this week, it would be in the worst category. But overall, since I'm combining the two things, I think it's a good thing. Oh, also the worst would be man babies, who someone on the text and I'd be like, ah. Yeah, I'd throw them in the worst category too. But all in all, it's a good thing, because ultimately I'm positive, Robbie. Maybe toxically so at times. I think this is a good thing. This is another thing in sports that has drawn my interest, and I think I'm interested to see how this all unfolds this year.
Joe Rexrode, very positive. Long fuse just keeps coming.
That's right. Exactly.
Nick, these are your best and worst things in the world of sports.
You know, I had the pleasure of getting to experience what it was like to watch NHL postseason in Canada. So that was fun, being amongst all the Oilers fans from out of the crevices of Tofino, British Columbia. Was kind of cool to see what that was like.
Oilers now, very popular in British Columbia?
They were. It was insane. And we were
That's surprising to me.
Yeah, we were in the Victoria Airport. And we had a couple hours to kill because we turned in our car. So we were just sitting there, and Kristen's like, you can go watch the game. So she was reading a book. I went and watched the game. Gets down to it. At the very end, everybody's screaming and cheering, and they're clapping when Campbell makes a save. So I was like, naturally, I'm going to see what the reaction is when and if they win or if they completely blow this. So I had my phone out ready to videotape anything that happened. So that was fun. I thought there'd be more of a reaction when they won, but the bar, I ended up hearing some folks saying, well, the bartenders got pissed that we were screaming and yelling because they couldn't hand out orders properly. So understandably so, they were very nice in trying to make up for that. But it was cool to just get to experience what those fans were like. They were all very friendly. They were not overbearing from what I got, especially when I was at different restaurants throughout my time on my honeymoon, but I was very pleased with that. Very cool to see the Oilers make it to the final. The worst thing in sports that I got caught up on at the airport as well, Vanderbilt losing to High Point in baseball. Wow.
Was it a low point?
Man, I could not believe that actually happened. I called Jake Lyman and talked to him about that. And I was like, what happened? He's like, well, pitching just became a huge issue for them down the stretch. And High Point took advantage of them and definitely was not predicted that this would have happened. But Vanderbilt, you know, there was a reason they kind of struggled in conference play toward the stretch end there. So, you know, it kind of made sense. I'm not sure how you feel about them losing. I didn't listen to too much of y'all.
Thanks for listening to the program.
Yeah.
It's very disappointing. Very disappointing.
So, but that's definitely a low point for me looking back this week.
Nice.
Glad we can get so we got to get those puns in while we can, baby.
Yeah, we can.
Didn't even mean to.
My best thing in sports, Joe Pavelski. Looks like this is going to be it for him, and he's likely calling it a career. Now, he did not make it totally official, but basically without saying he's retiring, alluded to him retiring at the end of the Dallas Stars season, now that they've been eliminated in the Western Conference. You're talking about a player that was drafted in 03 in the Nashville draft here in Bridgestone, in the seventh round a seventh-round draft pick, Joe Pavelski. He played for 18 years in the National Hockey League, ends up with over 1,000 points, almost 500 goals. In terms of, like, redirecting pucks in front of the net, is probably in the top two or three that I've ever seen do that. Great player. I've dealt a lot with him over the years, both in San Jose and in Dallas. Really good guy to deal with, really good with the media too. Enjoyed himself in the All-Star weekend here in Nashville, where he and some other players went out and had some beverages, and he found me and asked me where the Hilton Hotel was, and we were in the parking lot of the Hilton Hotel. That was fun. But Joe Pavelski, great career, and if this is it at age 39, what a ride it was. He did not win Stanley Cup, got to the final a couple times, but you talk about finding a diamond in the rough, a seventh-round pick, having what I think is a Hall of Fame career. Pretty good career for Joe Pavelski.
No doubt.
My worst thing in sports, the Super Regional this weekend between Tennessee and Evansville. I've allowed Joe Rexrode to talk me into this is going to be a non-event and that Tennessee is just going to roll through Evansville. So now both members here, myself and Rexrode of the Robbie and Rexrode program, making things very difficult for Tennessee. The jinx is fully on. We're expecting Tennessee to roll in the Super Regional and get to the College World Series. Joe, I was really looking forward to when people were talking about it. I was heavily looking forward to a little Chase Burns Tennessee action. Disappointed we didn't get it.
Yeah, it's tough. And even East Carolina would be a good storyline because they've never been there, and it's a very good program, very good team. So, hey, enjoy your Vols padding their stats. For two games.
Thank you.
I mean, that's basically what's going to happen. Lance has a good one here, that Larry Allen, top five lineman of all. I don't know if he's a top five lineman of all time, but, I mean, it's arguable, but awful at, 52?
Yes. Yeah. Tough news.
Too young.
Lenny on the text line says, the best, 94 days until the Titans play at the Bears. Only 94 days. The worst, Malik Willis. What did Malik Willis do?
What the heck did he do? Jeez.
Malik Willis is catching strays on the text line in June.
He's just out there practicing, man. In fact, I thought he threw a couple of absolute darts yesterday. Mm. If I don't say so myself, I got some video.
Did he throw one in the lake? I don't think so.
Not that I know of.
Keith from Bowling Green.
Man.
Keith from Bowling Green says, the best thing for me is the New York Yankees between the pitching, Aaron Judge, and Juan Soto. The worst is Jared's toxic negativity. So spinning around the toxic positivity.
Right. Honorable mention is Derek Mason's D-Mace, even though I wasn't there with him on Trevor Maddich being irresponsible. I loved his takedown of toxic positivity because someone like texted in their show, like, you guys are being toxic positivity or whatever. Toxic, is it positivity or toxic optimism? Whatever it is. Positivity, right?
Yes.
Which I think is a oxymoron, toxic positivity. Isn't that not an oxymoron?
I believe so.
Yeah. So I don't know. I appreciated D-Mace going at it, but I think it's probably a term that's here to stay now because we've talked about it so much. People are going to adapt it.
I believe you're correct. 615-737-1025.
Or adapt phone it. Number. Tomato, tomato.
Same thing. We'll have more on the Titans. Coming up next, you're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.